T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
Carson's in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles. No disruption.
Well, Daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope you were listening yesterday when I told you I didn't see how Will Wade was going to be able to survive this, because we found out earlier today he is almost certainly not going to survive this. LSU has announced they've suspended their head coach. One day before, they're going to play a game with an opportunity to be outright SEC champions. So that's the biggest story in college basketball heading into the final weekend of the regular season in college basketball. I'll walk you through it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420, Dan Walker, national columnist, USA Today. He wrote a Will Wade column yesterday, been arguing with LSU fans on Twitter ever since. I'll have Dan Walker with me in about 20 minutes. Chop it up with him. Finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories, 444, at which point going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Temple won last night. I'll tell you what that means for the Tigers as it relates to the AAC tournament that will be played inside FedEx Forum next week. Do that at around 444. Tennessee is at Auburn tomorrow. I mentioned, Ellis, you got a chance to win an outright SEC title. What that would require is LSU beating Vanderbilt. That should be no problem. But also Auburn beating Tennessee. So Bruce Pearl's got an opportunity to prevent Tennessee from winning a share of the SEC title for the second consecutive year. Interesting storyline. We'll get into that a little later on this hour. The biggest game tomorrow, Duke at North Carolina. Zion Williamson is not expected to play, but has not been ruled out by Mike Krzyzewski. We'll get into that just before 5 o'clock. And the biggest game in primetime tomorrow night, that's going to be Michigan at Michigan State. Both teams are tied with Purdue atop the Big Ten standing. So one of them is going to win at least a share of the Big Ten title. The other one is not going to get to raise a banner in its arena. So high stakes between two rivals. Talking nothing but college basketball during four notable stories at 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins, just like always. And then I know I told you yesterday that we'd play Harvard Horn Lake, and I promise you we plan to do it. But then this Will Wade stuff broke, and I simply did not have time to deal with it today. It is like you have to prepare for it. I have to come up with questions.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
there's an expectation for the segment.
And I've been going really since the moment I woke
saw
up.
This,
we
man.
Started recording. Oof. Just some background here, and then we'll get into the Will Wade situation as I try to explain to you and ask for your forgiveness for not having Harvard Horn Lake today.
I saw you on CBS Sports HQ this afternoon.
So that's true. I did that. But even before that, we started recording the Eye on College Basketball podcast for CBS Sports, Matt Norlander and I, around 10 a.m. Central. And we went like an hour, 5 minutes. We talked about the LSU situation.
Yeah.
We previewed the weekend. And about the first 23 minutes or so of that podcast was about Will Wade and LSU. And a lot of it was tied to what is LSU going to do with Will Wade? What should LSU do with Will Wade? And not long after we got through recording, the news breaks that LSU is going to is suspending Will Wade. And I text Norlander. I was like, this podcast.
You can't put it out.
Well, it was already up in iTunes and everywhere else. I was like, yo, we just got to delete that and redo the open. Like,
smart.
Just redo, because most people aren't going to get to this till this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow morning. And then we're asking them to listen for 25 minutes, us discuss what LSU should do with Will Wade, what we think LSU will do with Will Wade, and they already know what LSU did with Will Wade. It just sounds stupid. And he said, I agree, but, like, they've got me coming on CBS Sports HQ as soon as you get done with CBS Sports HQ. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we don't have – how are we going to sit down and do this? And I said, listen, here's an idea. Delete everything that we've already posted in iTunes and everywhere else. I will re-record an open by myself. I'll discuss the Will Wade situation alone. I don't know if you know this. I do a radio show every day by myself. I can handle it.
Yeah, you've done this before.
And then I'll explain why you're there. We'll be transparent, same way I'm explaining it right now. And then you'll be there for the rest of the podcast, and it's good. He says, okay, cool, do that. And then I start to do this, and I realize pretty quickly, I don't know how to record because I don't ever do that. He handles the recording side of everything.
He's the recording guy.
All I do is speak. It's a little bit like this radio show.
You run the damn thing. I'll just show up and talk.
Brad, you handle all the stuff over there.
Figure out all the buttons.
And I'll just talk. You just tell me when it's time to talk. Podcast is very similar. I don't record anything. Norlander handles all the...
We've actually worked this show where I don't even have to tell you when to talk. It just goes.
All the uploading, all the technical side of it, the production work, Norlander handles that. Good. I simply host the podcast. So I realized pretty quickly, I don't know how to do this.
No.
And I know he's busy, so I don't want to bother him. So I say, okay, maybe I just open up QuickTime, and I'll just do the open.
Okay.
And so I open up QuickTime, and I'm like, okay, maybe I do know how to do this. It says new audio file. I'm going to hit record, and I'm going to start talking. 20 minutes, I talk. I do the whole thing. Boom, I stop it. Listen back to it. It's not using my mic that I needed to use. It's using my MacBook mic, so it sounds like trash. Can't do it. Delete. Then I go, I say, Norlander, what do I do? I don't know what to do. I finally do bother him. I said, can I record this in GarageBand or whatever it is on a MacBook, right? He said, absolutely, you can use GarageBand. I said, okay, cool, that's what I'm going to do. Then I realize I've never used this before in my entire life. So I don't even know how to use it. But I get to a point where I know how to record.
Yeah.
I hit record, do another 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Did it take, please? It took, right?
I've got an echo on my voice. I sound like a rock, like I sound like a, I sound like Pink Floyd or something.
You sound like a producer who's had a day.
So I go, damn it, I have to delete that.
Yep.
And then I finally figure out how to not have an echo. I get that done at like 3:15 and immediately jump in a car and drive here. So I've been dealing with this stuff all day. That's why we're not going to have Harvard Horn Leg. Perhaps it'll return at some point, let's be honest, after the Final Four.
Yeah, we got a month or so.
Because once I leave,
great prizes though.
Because once I leave on Sunday, I ain't coming back for like 3 weeks.
That'd be fun.
So anyway,
good to see you.
Good to be here. The Will Wade situation. Let's back up to yesterday.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we spent part of 444 talking about what had happened at LSU, and it was all tied to a report from Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, where essentially he reported that Will Wade had been caught on a wiretap discussing with Christian Dawkins a pay-for-play scheme involving Javonte Smart, who was a prospect at the time but is now a freshman at LSU. If you're a Tennessee fan who watched LSU beat your Vols a few weeks ago, the main reason that happened was because Javonte Smart was awesome. And so, to be clear, he wasn't negotiating a deal with Christian Dawkins because Christian Dawkins has nothing to do with Javonte Smart. He was just, best I can tell, venting, expressing frustration about how he can't get this deal done for Javonte Smart. And what he said was this to Christian Dawkins. He said, quote, I was thinking last night on this Smart thing, and I'll be honest with you. I'm effing tired of dealing with the thing. Like, I'm just effing sick of dealing with the S. Like, this should not be that effing complicated. And later in the same phone call, again, according to the transcript obtained by Yahoo Sports, he's talking about a third-party handler, for lack of a better word, who's involved with the Javonte Smart recruitment, because why wouldn't you have a third-party handler in the in your recruitment? And he said, quote, dude, I went to him, the handler, with an effing strong-ass offer about a month ago. Effing strong. The problem was, I now know why he didn't take it. Because it was effing tilted toward the family a little bit. It was tilted toward taking care of the mom, taking care of the kid. Like, it was tilted towards that. So now I know for a fact he didn't explain everything to the mom. I know now he didn't get enough of the piece of the pie in the deal. It was an effing, hell of an effing offer, hell of an offer. So then later in the day, and keep in mind, this wiretap, this was recorded some point between June 19th and June 30th, 2017. And then Javonte Smart commits to LSU on June 30th, 2017. So this is just a couple of weeks at the most before Javonte Smart committed to LSU. So then ESPN reports subsequently that on a different call between Will Wade and Christian Dawkins, that Will Wade is joking about a player, again, presumably Javonte Smart. He's joking how the player is going to get, quote, more than the rookie minimum. And he also tells Christian Dawkins, and to me, this is one of the most incriminating parts. Yep. He says that he's done deals for players just as good as Javonte Smart in the past, and they've been a lot simpler than this. So let me explain to you exactly what's going on here. What you have is an SEC head coach on a wiretap talking to somebody who is now a convicted felon, but was at the time just a runner, as Easterwood might put it, street corner clown.
Right.
When Easterwood says hobos, heroes, street corner clowns, Christian Dawkins falls under that umbrella.
Yeah.
So what we have is an SEC coach talking to a street corner clown about this deal he's trying to get done for Javonte Smart, top 50 player in America. And he's explaining to Christian Dawkins, listen, I put an offer on a table, and it was a strong offer. But the handler hasn't, like, accepted it and got the deal done yet, and I now understand why. And the reason is because I cut the mom in, and I cut the kid in, and that made the handler's piece of the pie smaller than it otherwise would be. And so he's holding out for a bigger piece of the pie. So now I understand. Like, I cut the mom in, I cut the kid in, and now the handler won't get this done for me because I didn't cut him in the way he wants to be cut in. And beyond that, man, I'm sick of this because I've done deals in the past, maybe for Tremont Waters. I've done deals in the past for players who are just as good as Javonte Smart, and they ain't never been this complicated. So I'm just, like, fed up. I don't know what to do. It's all on tape.
Ugh.
And I told you yesterday, I didn't see how you could explain those words away. See, coaches have lived for decades with plausible deniability. That's the way this stuff usually goes down. It looks bad, but you can't quite tie them to it, or they've got a little bit of out. Rick Pitino with the stripper scandal looks bad, but he's got plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Pitino with the Adidas situation looks bad, but he still had plausible deniability.
Yeah.
They fired him anyway, but he had plausible deniability. Bill Self at Kansas, plausible deniability. And let me make this point real quick. I had a lot of people, after I tweeted earlier today, LSU has suspended Will Wade, say, well, what is the difference between Will Wade on a wiretap with Christian Dawkins and Bill Self on a text message exchange with Adidas consultant TJ Gasnola? How is it one guy gets suspended, the other guy's just coaching like it never happened? And here's the difference. There actually is a very obvious difference. The difference is that the text messages between Bill Self and TJ Gasnola look bad. They are what they are. And if you're unfamiliar, it's basically right around the time Kansas is extending a lucrative multi-$100 million contract with Adidas. TJ Gasnola is telling Bill Self, far as I'm concerned, Kansas is number one, everybody else is second. I work for you. Bill Self's like, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it is at Kentucky or wherever. And TJ's like, I know, and I ain't never going to let you down. Only time I ever let you down was with DeAndre Ayton, LOL, but I'll never let you down again. And the implication is TJ Gasnola is saying, I'm going to be working for Kansas, getting you players, buying you players, and Bill Self saying, well, that's the way it ought to be. And so that's what it looks like. And if you ask me what I think, yes, that's what I think it is. You'd have to be an idiot to not think that's what it is. Bill Self knows who TJ Gasnola is. That's what TJ Gasnola does, by his own admission. So it looks exactly, it is as it appears. You'd have to be a diehard Kansas fan blinded by your fandom to suggest otherwise. But Bill Self can stand up and say this. You guys can think all you want that I was encouraging or instructing TJ Gasnola to go break rules for me, go buy players for me, but it ain't in the transcript. And you guys can think, if you want, that TJ Gasnola was telling me he's going to break rules and buy players, but it ain't in the transcript. I didn't encourage him to break a rule. I didn't encourage him to spend a dollar. You can think that's what I was doing, but if you try to say that's what I was doing, you're putting words in my mouth. Bill Self has plausible deniability. It's why he's going to keep his job at Kansas. Now, to be clear, if he was a mediocre coach, he'd already been fired. But because he's a Hall of Fame coach who's awesome, he's going to keep his job. He has plausible deniability. You don't believe that version. I don't believe that version. but he has plausible deniability, and that's reason enough for his bosses to keep him if they want to. Will Wade has no plausible deniability. There's nothing you can say to explain this away, because it is Will Wade talking about an offer, a strong-ass offer, that cuts the mom in, that cuts the kid in. Will Wade's talking about, hey, I've done deals like this before. I don't know why this one's so complicated. Like, it's a strong-ass offer. Let's just get this done. And by the way, it comes on the heels of several months ago when the first wiretap leaked, and he was talking about, with Christian Dawkins, doing a deal for a completely different player. And in that one, he had plausible deniability. And here's why. Because Will Wade could sit down with his bosses and say, yeah, it looks like what it looks like, but like, you got to understand who this Christian Dawkins guy was. I'm just BSing with him. But I didn't actually do anything. Evidence being that we didn't get the commitment from the kid, because they didn't get the commitment from the kid. And so the boss could go, okay, well, I mean, I guess if that's it, that's it. And by the way, Sports Illustrated is reporting that the LSU administration went to Will Wade after that first wiretap story came out,
mm-hmm.
and they said, what else is there?
Right.
And he said, this is it. This is all that you're going to hear.
Mm.
And so they were blindsided yesterday. And if they conclude he misled them, and it seems clear that he did, then they can fire him for cause and not owe him a penny.
Sure.
So he had plausible deniability with the first one. There's no plausible deniability with this one. You can't talk your way out of this one. So the question becomes, what does this mean for Will Wade? What does it mean for LSU? I'll start with the first one first because the answer is quick. I don't think he'll ever coach LSU again. He will be fired for cause,
mm-hmm.
suspended for now, and then once the lawyers all sign off on everything and they make sure they've covered everything
sure.
they need to cover, got their, as they say, ducks in a row,
mm-hmm.
Then he'll be fired for cause, and that'll be that. LSU, and then what he does going forward, I don't know. I don't want to say he'll never coach college basketball again because he is only 36, and time has a way of giving people second chances, but he won't coach college basketball for a while, and I don't believe he'll ever coach at LSU again. As for LSU, if I don't ever believe Will Wade coaches at LSU again, that means they're going to have a coaching search. And I mentioned it earlier today on Jason and John, one name to keep an eye on would be Nevada's Eric Musselman, because Mus was an assistant at LSU just a few years ago. He's obviously established himself as one of the best coaches in the country, built Nevada into, you know, a real power in the Mountain West Conference and one of the best teams on the West Coast right now. I think if Eric could get UCLA, or if Arizona opens Arizona, those would be preferable. But if for whatever reason he can't get one of those jobs, LSU might be a job that he would consider, because it wouldn't be going to some place he's never seen. He knows, he lived there, he worked there, and so that might make some sense. In the short term, though, I mentioned they're playing tomorrow for an SEC championship, and they're doing so without their head coach. The interim coach is Tony Benford, and that name might not matter to you at all, but he was a former head coach at North Texas, and about the nicest way to describe him would be he was an incredibly unsuccessful head coach at North Texas. So I don't think you can reasonably suggest that LSU isn't something less than it otherwise would be right now. You know, we talk all the time about teams losing key players. Duke's without Zion Williamson. Michigan's without Charles Matthews. Michigan State's without Nick Ward. Well, what is LSU without Will Wade? The only way you can argue it doesn't matter is if you think the coach doesn't matter. And that'd be a silly opinion to hold. So I don't think it'll be the thing that prevents them from beating Vanderbilt tomorrow and winning at least a share of the SEC title, because honestly, I think LSU could beat Vanderbilt tomorrow even if I coached them. But then you got to go play an SEC tournament with Kentucky and John Calipari, Tennessee and Rick Barnes, Mississippi State and Ben Hallen, Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Some real heavyweights who have comparable talent. And so good luck with that. And then I would imagine the selection committee takes this into consideration as well. Because once upon a time, and this is not the only example, but it's the most famous example, before our pyramid was a Bass Pro, it was a basketball arena. and Cincinnati was playing there. Bob Huggins was the coach. Kenny Martin was the national player of the year, and he broke his leg right there in downtown Memphis. And even though Cincinnati was the best team in the country, the team I think that would have, if healthy, won a national championship, and a team that even after the loss it took in that conference tournament still had the resume of a number one seed, the selection committee did not give them a number one seed. And when asked to explain why, they said it's not the same team that built that resume. They don't have Kenya Martin. Not the same team. So we'll adjust accordingly. I don't know how you could look at LSU going forward and say it's the same team. They do not have their coach. That is a significant loss. And so regardless of what happens tomorrow or next week in the SEC tournament, I would imagine on Selection Sunday, LSU isn't going to get the seed it otherwise would have gotten because the committee is going to evaluate LSU and reach the conclusion, the very reasonable conclusion, that this is not the same basketball team anymore. Yeah, they still got Tremont Waters. They still got Naz Reid. They still got Emmett Williams. They may or may not have Javonte Smart. That's the next thing. But instead of Will Wade, they got Tony Benford. And that is a downgrade from a coaching perspective. So, hell of a 48-hour period here for LSU. Yesterday morning, they were celebrating a weekend to come in which all they had to do is beat a team that literally hasn't won a SEC game all season to win at least a share of an SEC title. And if they did that and then went and won the SEC tournament, they're going to be in play for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And now here we are. Coach is suspended. Probably has coached his last game in Baton Rouge or for LSU in general. And you get ready to go to the SEC tournament with a coach who, again, nicest way to put it, completely unsuccessful the only other time he's ever been in charge of a Division I basketball team. So good luck with that. Dan Wilkins up next.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. Go now to 929ESPN.com. That's 929ESPN.com and sign up for the Book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge presented by Papa John's Pizza. You could win over $1,500 worth of stuff, a year's worth of haircuts and products and supercuts, and get a University of Memphis Platinum Jewelers pendant necklace valued at $500.
Go to 929ESPN.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Timber won last night. I'll tell you what that meant for the University of Memphis men's basketball team. We're going to talk college basketball in the next segment, like actual games, not scandal. That's going to be at 4:44, more like 4:53 probably. Jeff Cock is going to get to me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, national columnist, USA Today. It's Dan Walker making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
So, Dan Walker, the news broke yesterday about Will Wade being on a wiretap with Christian Dawkins, saying all sorts of stuff you don't want to be saying on a wiretap if you're a college basketball coach. You wrote a column about it. What's the dumbest thing a dumb LSU fan has tweeted you since you wrote that column?
Oh, my God. I don't know where to even begin. I mean, first of all, the one thing you get like 100 times, maybe even 100 times an hour, is, well, what about Duke and what about Kansas and why haven't you written about Sean Miller? And, like, well, okay, if you want to play the whataboutism game, I guess we can do that. But to my knowledge, there's no coach that has been caught on a wiretap explicitly talking about paying somebody to come play for him. So, talking about an offer made to a player that would presumably include money. So, you know, short of that, there's certainly some smoke and some questionable things that have been revealed, but nothing that direct. So that's one thing. I mean, you know, the other thing that, and this is more of a media thing than a fan thing, but it's like, okay, well, North Carolina fought the NCAA and just denied everything, and they got off. So why shouldn't we do the same thing? And I just have no time for that. I just think it's stupid that people actually even bring that up, or that like schools should not cooperate with the NCAA when they get investigated. I don't even know what that means. Like, you have to cooperate with the NCAA in an investigation. It's part of the essential agreement of being a member of the NCAA. So that to me is just a stupid discussion.
It's not even that, and I don't know why people think North Carolina, quote, didn't cooperate. They just disagreed with the facts of the case and then argued their side of it and did so successfully. But it's not like North Carolina said, NCAA is not allowed on our campus. They just said, NCAA, you're overstepping your boundaries. So I don't know where people get that UNC didn't cooperate with the NCAA.
Right. I mean, when you are under investigation, the NCAA says, hey, we want to look at these records, then you have to give them the records. You know, if the NCAA comes in and says, we want to talk to these six people, well, you have to make those six people available. So, like, I don't even understand what this whole thing is about don't cooperate. I mean, LSU is now in a position where they potentially have been playing someone all season long who is ineligible, which essentially means that all the things that have happened for them this year are probably going to end up being vacated, and whatever banner they hang for winning the SEC is probably going to have to be taken down. I mean, we're a long way from that moment right now, but if you just sort of can look at where the facts are heading. And the problem that they face is Will Wade apparently has not disclosed to LSU information that was likely to be on wiretap conversations between him and Christian Dawkins, which means LSU could be complicit, essentially, in not investigating or not taking action on a potential compliance issue within their basketball program. So not only has Will Wade sort of sealed his own fate here, he has put the school that employed him in significant danger of getting whacked hard by the NCAA. At this point, they have no choice but to cooperate.
We're talking to Dan Wilkin, USA Today. He's on Twitter, at Dan Wilkin. So I had some people ask me, if Will Wade knew this stuff was on a wiretap or had a chance of being on a wiretap, why would he not have talked about this with his bosses months ago when they approached him about the first wiretap story that was reported? And I think the answer to that question is the same reason people lie all the time. A, you're hoping that it never comes out, because just because you think you're probably on a wiretap discussing exactly this, there's no guarantee that it ever surfaces. And you know that if I tell my bosses, since you asked, I was discussing with Christian Dawkins how I put a strong-ass offer on the table for Javonte Smart, but his handler wouldn't accept it because I cut the mom in too much and I cut the kid in too much. And I'm telling Christian Dawkins, like, listen, I've done deals like this before for comparable players. They've never been this complicated. So, yeah, that's what I said. Then you're probably fired right then. So you just you lie or mislead, and you hope that it never comes out. Or B, it is going to come out, but at least you get those direct deposits every 2 weeks until it does.
Well, that could be it, too.
Oh, there you go.
I'm trying to remember when exactly that came out. Was it like October when that first wiretap came out?
Yeah. It was
during the trial, right?
I'm going to look it up right now, but you make your point.
Well, the point I was trying to make is the way the first trial went, there was a lot of evidence that the FBI had that never actually made it into the courtroom, right? And so depending on what developments were going to happen with the legal case as it played out, there was a possibility that Christian Dawkins maybe could have, you know, reached a plea deal or something, and that the second trial, I mean, a lot of these other coaches reached plea deals, right? So there was no guarantee that more trials were going to take place. And so, you know, if you're Will Wade and you're thinking, okay, if I could just get through the first trial and this is as bad as it's going to get, yeah, it doesn't look good, but it's not explicitly damning in terms of my job status. If I can just make it through this one, well, the likelihood is he'll plea the second one and this whole thing will be over and this is never going to see the light of day. But if that was his calculation, then he was wrong. And frankly, the way the sentencing played out, these guys all got lesser sentences. I think that gives Christian Dawkins even more incentive to go to trial. And so I think that every coach who was counting on that same thing, that whatever evidence may not have surfaced the first time, that, you know, kind of wiped their brow, I think they should be really nervous, because I think Christian Dawkins looks at the second trial as a good chance to get off completely.
The date of the original transcript from a wiretap was October 18th. And
yeah,
so
okay.
You're exactly right. Like, if you're Will Wade, you're going, okay, maybe if nobody else goes to trial, this stuff might not come out. And that might have been naive, but it's really the only hope you got at that point. And I can't stress enough how much there is a real strategy to, even if you know eventually it's going to come crashing down on you, those direct deposits every 2 weeks are significant. I had a coach who once, within, like, let's just say the past 5 years, he was caught up in a scandal, and it was clear he was going to get fired. He was just not going to survive it. But his school was, like, making sure they followed the proper steps, because they didn't want to get caught up in a lawsuit where they wanted to make sure they could fire for cause as opposed to fire without cause. And the coach was, like, at this point, not cooperating with the school at all. It was clear which way this was going, but he was like, what my lawyer told me is stay employed as long as you can stay employed, because they can't take the money back. They can void the rest of your contract, but every week you're employed is real direct deposits that you're going to have, that you're going to need going forward, and that's not an insignificant part of this. For as, like, Will Wade has stayed employed from October till now, and that's probably, I don't know, around
a million bucks.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. So let's cut through it. There's no way he ever coaches at LSU again, is there?
I mean, I can't see it. There was also just a story, or I guess a tweet posted right before I came on by Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated, that he used to cover LSU for the Baton Rouge Advocate. I'd say he's as tied in to what happens at LSU as any reporter in the country. And what he had just tweeted prior to me coming on was that when approached today by LSU officials, Will Wade, presumably under advice of his counsel, declined to discuss anything that came out publicly yesterday with LSU officials. So that only leads you to one place. Like, if he is not talking to LSU right now about what happened or trying to offer some sort of explanation, then he knows he's going to get fired, and then it's just about whether or not it's with cause, without cause, or some sort of settlement. I mean, I think that fact right there only leads you to one place.
He has released a statement to the Times-Picayune, Will Wade has, and in the statement, so it says, like, all the stuff you would expect, and then it says, I cannot comment at this time on various media reports except to say that they do not begin to tell the full story. I understand the university had to take action before all the facts are in, but I would ask everyone to withhold their judgment until the record is complete. I thought about this yesterday. Like, I find it a fun mental exercise sometimes to think about people who are in tough situations and go, okay, how could you explain this? Like, if you're R. Kelly, how can you explain this? If you're Will Wade, and I'm not comparing the two things, but if you're Will Wade, how could you explain this? And on the subject of Will Wade, how could you explain this transcript without incriminating yourself, without just shrugging your shoulders and say, yeah, I was doing a deal for Javonte Smart. I couldn't come up with anything. Is there any, like, he's saying, please reserve judgment until all the facts are out. What could possibly be the explanation that makes you go, oh, okay, I see. You weren't breaking NCAA rules. Is there one?
Well, I can't say that I could come up with one. I would say this, and I mean, just in full disclosure, you know, I had a situation about a year ago where certain text messages that I had sent to somebody came out publicly in a Freedom of Information Act.
Sure.
And I got criticized for the contents of those messages. But I would say now, like, I mean, those messages did not tell the full story of everything that was going on, and other conversations that if they were made public would maybe shine a little bit of a different light on it, or a lot different light on it. But, you know, I just can't talk about the contents of those other conversations to sort of clear, you know, my name in that situation. Not that I did anything wrong, because I didn't. But so I understand, like, that is a potential way to explain it, because at least in the situation I was dealing with, it actually happens to be true. Whether it's true with Will Wade, I have no idea. But I just can't come up with anything that would sort of exonerate him based on the very specific nature of what he was talking about.
That's what I mean. Like, I can't come up, I mean, I guess I could come up with something, but it's something believable? I don't know. And the point you make about Ross Dellinger reporting that, you know, he misled, at the very least seems to have misled his bosses back in October, that's probably game, set, match. I mean, I don't say this with any joy. I've known Will for a long time. I like him on a personal level, but when you are caught the way he's caught, it just becomes tough to survive that.
Well, I mean, look, the problem is for him, like in October, if you disclose that to LSU, they probably put you on paid administrative leave or whatever it is, and they do an investigation, and they go to the NCAA, and they say, we've got a kid on our team who potentially was caught, you know, in this wire, or talked about on this wiretap, with an offer. We need you to, you know, give us some kind of guidance about what to do with this kid. Do we play him? Are you going to clear him? Do we need to suspend him? And they could have gotten out ahead of a potential disaster with the NCAA compliance office based on Javonte Smart and his potential involvement in all this. But now, because he just played all year long and LSU didn't know, but the coach knew that there was a potential problem here, well, that really, you know, sets in motion an investigation and, you know, some potentially pretty severe penalties down the line because he's played in all these games.
And now if you're LSU, because that's the question I keep getting asked, like, are they going to really just keep playing Javonte Smart? And I guess it's a little bit like what Arizona did last year. Like, they did temporarily suspend Sean Miller, or at least remove him from the team, but they never did anything with DeAndre Ayton. And I guess the rationalization there is that if the NCAA is going to find us guilty of cheating to get DeAndre Ayton, well, then we're already screwed. He's already played all these games. We're going to vacate it anyway. We might as well just keep playing, go try to win a national championship, and then hope that we get off somehow. And I would assume that's the same explanation here. Like, if Javonte Smart is retroactively ruled ineligible, you're screwed anyway. You really don't gain much, except from a, you know, from a public relations perspective. You don't really gain much by removing him from the team right now, do you?
Yeah, I mean, if this turns out to be the worst case scenario, you're so screwed already that
right.
I'm not. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but now on the other hand, I do think there's a bigger sort of issue here, which is just like, how does LSU like try to play in the NCAA tournament with all this stuff swirling around? Like, I just think it's, you know, I don't think it's possible to compartmentalize. I think it's too big for that. If you're a fan, if you're the SEC, like, let's just say they made a miracle run to the Final Four, okay? If you're the SEC, like, how do you celebrate that? You know, how do you, you know, beat your chest and say, man, we really, you know, this is a great accomplishment for one of our programs, knowing what likely happened and what's likely to happen in the future. I know who doesn't want it is Mark Emmert, not the least of which is because he used to be the former president of LSU. So there's just a lot sort of going on here I don't think any of it's really going to be good or positive for LSU.
Last thing before I let you go, how, you know, it's not just that the scandal is now probably going to cost a coach's job, but this team is now being led by Tony Benford as opposed to Will Wade. Like, that's, you know, I'm not trying to be mean, but go Google his Wikipedia page. Like, the guy is, nicest thing you can call him is an unsuccessful former head coach. This could, like, wreck them in the SEC tournament and actually cost them with the selection committee, because if you, and they have a history of this, if you take a seed away from a team that it otherwise would have because it's missing a key player, don't you have to do the same thing if it's missing its head coach?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Tony Benford can, you know, wake the echoes of Steve Fisher leading Michigan to the national title, 1988 or something like that. But, yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, part of the way a team plays, the way they prepare, who they look to on the sideline, a lot of their confidence in tough situations is derived from the response of the head coach who's leading them on the sideline. And, yeah, you get into these high-leverage, high-stakes games, SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, whatever, and you have to get used to a different voice there, not to mention just the whole preparation aspect and the game plan aspect. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge factor. I don't know how you quantify it. I don't know how many seed lines you drop them. I don't think there's a real good answer for that. I don't think there's a Ken Pomeroy metric you can come up to quantify what that means, but it certainly means something.
Send them to Dayton. Put them in the first four.
There you go. Nobody deserves that, Gary.
Yeah, that's a fair point. All right, brother. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you.
Bye. That's Dan Wolken. USA Today's on Twitter at Dan Wolken. That's at Dan Wolken.
It is remarkable, and I realize that coaches won't get deals done with coaches if it were in their contracts, that they will keep the money. I mean, I know that sounds very basic.
Well, it's just like any other thing. Like, yeah.
You can't take the money back. You can't sue them to get the money back. It's their money. They
right.
keep the money.
Well, like, let's just say I got into some problems here and you guys didn't know what you were going to do with me. And I was like, listen, if I level with you in this investigation, you're going to fire me. So I'm just not going to level with you and let these direct deposits keep coming for as long as I can get them.
Yeah.
Like, there's a real strategy.
Yes,
in that.
There's very much so.
And so, if nothing else, by not cooperating or being honest with his bosses in October, Will Wade has made about an extra $1 million.
$1 million. And he keeps all that money even if he gets fired.
Well, you can't. What are they going to do? You know, they can void your contract, but they can't come take money out of your bank.
I get that. There's just a part of me that thinks having cheated and accomplished some things based on it, and you're being penalized for it, that you should be able to come after that.
Well, you'd better put that in the contract then.
And that's what I'm saying.
If you're ever terminated, we can
retroactively go back and get your stuff because you would have cheated to do so.
But ain't no coach ever putting that in a contract.
No, because for obvious reasons.
So if I'm Will Wade, what I do now is I understand, like, it's done.
Right.
Barring a surprise, this is done.
So hold on, get it, and then it is what it is.
So, like, just keep putting it off. Because right now, all they've done is suspend him. They ain't stopped his pay.
Right.
So you just, every direct deposit you get is a direct deposit you're going to need going forward.
Yeah.
And so if cooperating is going to get you fired immediately, and it would. Then don't. Try to drag it out as long as you can drag it out and get as much money as you can.
Unbelievable.
Until they stop paying you. Temple won last night at UConn, so that locked Memphis into the 5 seed in the AAC tournament. We'll get into that. Plus the big games of the weekend, Tennessee, Auburn, Michigan, Michigan State, Duke, North Carolina, talking college basketball now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Make me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross.
Jeff Cox, your award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian. He's going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, real quick, and I'm going to try to be real quick. I don't want to get way off schedule.
You've said that before. I know better.
Almost every day.
Every day. Yeah, I know better.
Got 4 stories I'd like to discuss.
4 stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. 4 notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time.
This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
So Temple won at UConn last night, and that did matter for the University of Memphis, because any chance of the Tigers getting a first-round bye ended the moment that game went final. The seeds are not locked in for the American Athletic Conference tournament yet, but some of them are. One is Houston is locked in as the one seed. Tulane is locked in as the 12 seed. Mm-hmm. East Carolina is locked in as the 11 seed. And your University of Memphis Tigers are now locked in as the 5 seed. So they will play, the Tigers, Thursday at 2 p.m. Central. So Tuesday afternoon on Thursday inside FedEx Forum, it'll be Memphis against Tulane. And given that Tulane hasn't won a game against an American Athletic Conference opponent all season, it'd be a hell of a deal if somehow Memphis didn't get past that one. So you can reasonably assume that Memphis is going to play on Friday. And if Memphis plays on Friday, that is also going to be an afternoon game. Memphis would play the 4 seed at 1 o'clock inside FedEx Forum a week from today. And so the question becomes, all right, who's that going to be? Mm-hmm. And the answer is that it's either going to be Temple or UCF. There are no other options.
Yep.
It has to be Temple or UCF. And the most likely scenario, I guess, is that, well, I don't know if it's the most likely, but basically if UCF beats Temple, that's it. Temple will be the 4, and UCF will likely be the 3. But either way, Memphis will be dealing with Temple.
Which would you rather have?
I'd rather play Temple than UCF.
Yeah, me too.
I think UCF's better.
Yeah.
All the computers suggest that.
Mm-hmm.
You've beaten both of them in your building, so
that's good.
Either one, you're gonna be favored over either one of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But give me an option. I'd rather Temple be the 4, UCF be the 3,
okay,
and you play Temple in the quarterfinals. But there is a scenario where UCF is actually the 4, and that would involve UCF losing to Temple, and then Wichita State beating Tulane, which is possible because you know this game is going to be played at Temple. And, you know, it's KenPom's got it projected UCF 70, Temple 69. So KenPom's got it as a coin flip situation. So it is, and you don't think that Wichita State is going to do.
They should win that.
Yeah, Wichita State should win that easily. So you basically, I guess it just.
It's a game.
It almost comes down to, like, who's going to win this game.
Right.
But either way, you're going to play UCF or Temple. And then if you win that one on Friday. On Saturday, we now know it's done because Houston won last night. Cincinnati lost last night. You will play Houston in the semifinals. Hmm. And if you win that, you would, if the bracket held to seed, you would play Cincinnati more than likely in the championship game. So that's the Tigers' path through the AAC tournament. They're going to open on Thursday afternoon with Tulane, probably play, let's just keep the probablys out of it, play on Friday either Temple or UCF, then probably play, if they win that one, on Saturday, Houston. And then if they win that one, probably play Cincinnati for the AAC tournament title. So it should be a fun week inside FedEx Forum. I'm looking forward to it.
Story number two.
We talked a lot about LSU being in a position to win a SEC championship tomorrow, because you would assume that they're going to handle Vanderbilt, because LSU's first place in the league. Vanderbilt is last place in the league. The game's being played in Baton Rouge. But I just got a text message from a college coach, like, during the commercial break, and he was like, you realize Tony Benford is very capable of losing to Vanderbilt tomorrow. And I don't think that's true. He's still got Tremont Waters and
I think they'll get this done.
I think that whether Tony Benford coaches LSU or I coach LSU, we could beat Vanderbilt tomorrow. But it is going to be a thing in the SEC tournament and in the NCAA tournament. They have gone from a quality coach to a guy.
And do they not have a quality bench coach behind Will Wade?
Well, that's the question, right? Like, why go with Tony Benford? I think the argument is probably he's the guy on staff with previous head coaching experience. But if the previous head coaching experience is garbage,
it sucks.
Like, why would you give it to that guy?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if I got sick today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, at 3:15, I'm like, Brad, I cannot do this show. And you had two options here and to fill in, and you could pick either one.
Yeah.
And you said, all right, I'm going to go with option A because this guy has hosted his own radio show before.
Never successfully.
But, like, he was never good at it.
Yeah, never awful.
And he was, like, awful at it, as bad as you can be at it.
We don't want him doing it, but...
He couldn't have been worse, but like he's done it before, so we'll let him do it. I would actually like tell you, I'd be like, Brad, why don't you let this other guy do it? Because we know, we know this guy sucks, so let's just at least give the guy we're unsure about an opportunity because the other guy's a bomb.
Yeah.
That's a little bit like what's going on at LSU right now. Tony Benford at North Texas went 12-20, then 16-16, then 14-17, then 12-20, then 8-22, got fired, career record 62-95. So I don't know. I'd have probably given it to anybody other than him.
Sure.
Anybody other than him? But they gave it to him, so so we'll see. But assuming that LSU beats Vanderbilt, then if Tennessee's going to get at least a share of the SEC title, they got to go win at Auburn. That game's at 11 a.m. Central. It's on ESPN. And it's about a coin flip situation. KenPom's got the projected score. Tennessee 76, Auburn 75. So, again, coin flip situation. But it's a neat little storyline. It won't resonate like Michigan, Michigan State, or Duke, Carolina. But Bruce Pearl, with an opportunity to keep Tennessee from winning at least a share of the SEC title, is a storyline. So keep an eye on that one tomorrow.
Story number three.
And then at 5 o'clock Central, we're going to get the biggest game of the weekend. It's number 4 Duke at number 3 North Carolina. Second time these two teams have played this season. The first time, 36 seconds in, Zion Williamson, shoe exploded. He has not played in a basketball game since. And Mike Krzyzewski said earlier today that he does not expect Zion to play tomorrow. But he did not rule it out. And so... As always, my position is very clear on this. Zion Williamson should do what's best for Zion Williamson. His family should do what's best for Zion Williamson. And if they decide we're going to take this thing slow and we're not going to rush back, even if we think we could play tomorrow, we just don't think it's a smart thing to do, that's fine with me. I will never write the column criticizing a young man, an amateur athlete worth hundreds of millions of dollars who isn't allowed to cash in yet legally. Right. If those players do not want to play, for nothing more than a scholarship and a cost attendance stipend. I've been on record consistently for years. They shouldn't play. It's fine with me. But selfishly, I'd love for him to play.
Yeah.
Because what would be better than tomorrow, tip-off's 5 Central, about 4:25 Central, breaking news, Zion Williamson is in uniform, warming up on the court, Dean Smith Center right now. Duke has said he will be in the starting lineup. I mean, you can't get a bigger college basketball moment. And I mean that sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, national championship game won't be as big as that.
No.
Zion coming back unexpectedly, about to play North Carolina, rivals two top five teams.
That would do
Let's
a lot.
Go.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, viewer perspective, I want to see Zion Williamson on the court, but if he cannot go or just opts not to go, certainly understandable.
Story number 4.
And then in prime time, the biggest game is actually going to be Michigan at Michigan State. That game tips at 7 Central. It is also on ESPN. And this game would be big no matter what. It's two top 10 teams. But it's two top 10 teams, rivals.
Yeah.
And they're both 15-4 in the Big Ten. So, like, they are actually playing for a conference championship tomorrow. The winner gets to hang a banner. The loser will not. Both teams probably shorthanded. Michigan's been without Charles Matthews. Michigan State been without Nick Ward and Josh Langford. So neither team is at full strength. But the banner, whoever wins it, will never show that.
Right.
It'll just be Conference Champions 2019. So it should be an awesome day of college basketball. 11 a.m. we get started early with Auburn, Tennessee. And then, of course, we get Duke, Carolina at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Then Michigan, Michigan State at 7 o'clock. And, of course, the Tigers, and this one won't resonate nationally, but they are also closing their regular season tomorrow. That game tips inside FedEx Forum at 8:30 Central. You'll be able to watch it. Tulsa, Memphis. It's on ESPNU. Jeff Calkins is in studio. He joins me next.
Go now to 92.9ESPN.com and sign up immediately for the Book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge presented by Papa John's Pizza.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You could win over $1,500 worth of stuff. A year's worth of haircuts and products and supercuts, a We Sell Tools prize package including professional service cart, 121 mechanics tool set, and get a University of Memphis Platinum Jewelers pendant necklace valued at $500.
Enter the Bracket Challenge on the station you love. Go to 92.9ESPN.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.